welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where information is exchanged with the expectation that it is to be applied. I am your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com, as well as co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Now let's dive into a discussion that can help you help yourself. Again, this is the Family Alpha Podcast. Now let's get to work.
Silenced. We're good.
Good morning and welcome to a special episode of The Morning Brew with Hunter Drew. Today I'm joined by Tanner Guzzi and Brandon Ng. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Happy. Yeah.
So one of the reasons I wanted to get this dynamic duo together and come on this morning is they've been doing something that I think is really cool. And what I love about this show is I'm allowed to talk about whatever I want because it's mine. So when I heard of Project M, we're going to get to what it is and all that. But my first experience to it was I was just checking out Tanner's stuff. I was creeping and seeing what he's up to. I was like, Project M, what is that? That sounds cool. And I think you made an announcement. Like, there's like 100 days left, and I'm doing this thing. Check it out. And you had shared the, you did the Marine Corps PFT or CFT, one of them. And yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going to do it with you. And then, like, I totally just got sidebarred and I forgot. And at the end, I was like, dang, you guys did awesome. So Project M, what is the M stand for? You know, what is this? Is it a movement? Is this a certain challenge? Is this going to continue on beyond the 100 days?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is something in fact, I'll talk a little bit about kind of the what we're trying to do. And then Brandon, why don't you tell him what M stands for and kind of where we're going?
Maybe you talk about what we're trying to do. And then maybe I'll start with like where we started and how we came up with that name and everything like that.
Awesome. Okay, so Brandon and I have been friends now for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And we are part of a group of guys, we call it The Rut, and we get together twice a month. And it's really just about one, hanging out with other dudes, especially as married men, most of us are fathers. And the idea of you got to make time with other men valuable and important, because Hunter, as you know, as soon as you get married, your friends disappear, or as soon as they have kids, they're gone or something else like that. And that same sex friendship is it's no longer a priority. And we think that it loses its importance when it really doesn't. And so this is something that we've done for the last few years. We've gained a lot of momentum. And one of the things that we found that really solidifies that and makes it fun for us is this idea of mutual challenge. And so we've talked about taking it online, and whether it's showing other guys and just inviting them along to do it with us. But the whole approach is we're becoming better versions of ourselves. We're trying to act more than we talk. And so, yeah, we started off with the PFT. This month, we've been doing another physical related one where it's been trying to drop body fat percentage and testing it in a bod pod and that kind of stuff. Next month, we're going to do a shooting related one. And so we're just going to every month or every, you know, 6 weeks or something, it's just going to be a new challenge so that we become better versions. And we invite other guys to do it while they're figuring out how to have male friends when you're in your 30s or whatever. And you're losing that as a priority.
That is so cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hearing that playing out, you know, men need that so bad. It's
so bad.
You can slow down, you know, when the lines are gone, you know, you're like, oh, I can relax. But when they're with you, you're like, I got to keep up.
Exactly.
So you push yourself.
Yeah. 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 So I think it was kind of a perfect storm of events that happened a couple months ago that kind of brought this together. Me and Tanner have been having these kind of discussions that we've been having on the podcast ever since we kind of met each other. But I've been, I guess you could say, hesitant to take it onto any sort of social media online. In fact, I've given Tanner a hard time at times for the whole online, the whole Twitter thing.
That weird dude that always has a camera in everybody's face.
And it's like, and I was always giving him a hard time. But I think for me, you know, there's this perfect storm of I started reading a lot of like Gary Vee books where he kind of says, like, get over yourself, like, just get out there. Like, you've got something to share. Doesn't matter how stupid you think it is or how narcissistic you think social media is. So I started thinking about those ideas. At the same time, you know, there were all these shootings that we've seen, and men doing horrible things and people talking about what the solution is. And I got talking to Tanner about, you know, the solution isn't, like, not to get too political, but like, it's not your guns, it's not necessarily mental health, but it's that men lack meaning, you know. And we can get on these like really hardcore like manosphere topics, and there's a lot of that out there, but we got talking, and Tanner approached me and said, you know, the best use of social media is just men being good examples of what it means to be men and have purpose.
Normalize good behavior.
Yeah, normalize good behavior is how I think you put it. And so started thinking about how we could do that. And we didn't want to, you know, come out here with some platform like everybody else has, but something that's more kind of like what you've seen in the challenges, more actionable. We kind of described it. I think we can, it's okay to say it's like a mix of like Order of Man and like Dude Perfect. Something that's a little bit more relatable to just your average guy out there. Like you don't have to be some hardcore like masculinity. Yeah. And so that's really what drew me in, is this idea that we could normalize good behavior, do it in a fun way where we don't necessarily have to get super political or philosophical. And so I guess back to meaning of Project M. So we thought, well, what really is like, what would solve like these problems that we're seeing with men and boys in society today? And we kind of came up with the word meaning, right? Like that if men led more meaningful lives, it would probably solve a lot of these problems, or that's our hypothesis. So what does that look like? You know, it means taking on more adventurous, challenging, risky social behaviors with other guys. So that's kind of the platform. And then at a more superficial level, Project M is just Project Manly or Project Man. Kind of take it whichever way you want, depending on how
I dig it.
How sober you're feeling that day.
So I was talking to Tanner right before you had hopped on, and I think one of the coolest elements of this is in the space that him and I are occupying, people take things to such extremes, you know, and you guys have talked about that multiple times in the podcast where, and I believe it was episode 6 where you were talking about the tweet that was talking about if all you're doing is reading books, you're not taking action, nothing. And you said, are we really getting mad about guys reading books? Like, are we really at that point? And I was like, thank you, dude. Like that is exactly like, sometimes I catch myself looking around on Twitter. I'm like, are we really, really getting upset about these little things?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Oh.
No, it's awesome. You're bringing a perspective that's fresh. It's not tainted. Sometimes I feel like my vision is somewhat tainted because I'm just around it all the time. So I'm like, it's good to recalibrate.
Yeah, and while go ahead, Tanner.
I was just going to say, especially because we as a community, especially the part of Twitter that we occupy, or you know, part of the Fraternity of Excellence or the 21 Convention, the Manosphere in general, all of it, we have over the last 10 years kind of moved and developed as a community. And then it's easy to forget that there are other people who are at different stages or disagree on different things or anything else. And that doesn't mean that they can't benefit or that they can't be men or anything else. And so that was one of my personally favorite aspects, is that Brandon is an outsider who's still very interested in masculinity, and that we get to talk about it in a way that's very normie friendly, as opposed to like, you got to know all our jargon, you got to have a village by the sea, you have to be, you know, all this other stuff, which we can get so self-contained that we can become kind of a cartoon version of ourselves. And so, yeah, I love having Brandon on and having a totally different perspective on all this.
And I think that is kind of the fun, unique dynamic that we can bring, and something that I've had to become more comfortable with, right? Because in the past, I've seen something you tweeted, or like I'll get on and like just lurk in your Twitter feed, and I'll be like, I disagree with that one, but I've never like brought it up. But it's kind of fun to like have that be like the unique thing about our platform, is that I can be a little bit of a contrarian, even if it's just out of ignorance or as an outsider perspective.
Yep, and that we're still mutually aligned with the same goal.
Yeah,
and it is good to get some pushback or to have to kind of recalibrate. One of the episodes that we just recorded that's going up really soon, I personally love that Brandon can just, it's so frustrating and it's so good. And you guys will know this as you pay more attention to the show and you get to hear his voice, but he's so annoyingly good at asking questions in a way that it just challenges assumptions that have been baked into the manosphere for so long. It's just like, okay, I do actually have to defend that and see if I'm making a good decision or if I'm just going with the flow and riding the inertia of what everybody else in the community is doing. So it really is a really cool perspective.
And a lot of times we end up in the middle. I think, I don't know about you, but after this last episode you recorded, teaser, like I think we both walked away being like, I don't know if I was right there.
Questions and answers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
There were a few times I paused because of what you were discussing. So Brett, you did ask a very good question about the line between it was along the lines of reading being the action that is being taken, you know, and then I was like, well, but what are you doing with that knowledge? Are you just a well-read man? Are you? So I had to stop your discussion because I'm like, all right, so what is that line? If my son is sitting and reading, should I have him doing immediately? Apply that? I'm like, all right, you read about this, I'll go do it. Or like, what is
the? Sorry, son, you're a failure. You're not really doing you know? As well as you should be. Yeah. Stop reading. Go do.
One of the more difficult things I've also had to get over, and I think you somewhat alluded to this, Brandon, is what you do normally, trying to capture that and make that content. You know, if you were to strip the electrons away, I'm still leading this family. I'm still, you know, all the things I do, but why do I need to take a picture of my son while we're at baseball? Like, why do I do that? You know, that's a moment for us. but I'm trying to use that to obviously show people like, look, go out and do something with your child, be a part of it. If not a coach, you know, practice with them. So have you found yourself like, oh, maybe I should record this or start writing this down now that you're doing this with Tanner?
A little bit. I think we drew pretty clear lines when we started the project, and specifically around our family. I have pretty clear boundaries about how they're involved and what I'll talk about. Tanner's obviously a little bit more willing to be open and share, but definitely like it's more about me, like the hurdles I've had to get over, because I'm not a big like social media user in general, but I have had to kind of get and I'm still getting there, right? Like I don't share probably as nearly as much as I should with this project, but it's been a hurdle just for me personally to be a little bit more conscious of, oh, this is probably relevant to our audience. It's weird to me to even say that we have an audience, for however small it is. So it's just strange to even think about that.
I still feel that way. So I threw something up on the screen. Anthony, he's a friend of mine. He's been on the show. Great father, great man. He said, this is awesome and I can relate. And that is the single greatest thing about why I wanted you guys here. So many men can relate to what it is you're saying right now. They're like, I don't understand why we need to talk about why we would have to have this discussion, why I should share this photo. But they get it, because these talks need to happen. You know, these topics that, like you said, men need meaning. Well, how do you have meaning if there's nobody willing to talk about finding meaning, how to find meaning, how to forge friendships? So the guys that are relating to this and hearing your voice, I mean, it's weird to have an audience, but it's like you're just planting a seed and that's going to spread beyond anybody you ever know. So that's really cool, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, one of the biggest, one of the things we decided to do is as the Ruts, as our group, is once a year we do a bigger trip. And so this last year we spent a few days hiking down in southern Utah, down in Escalante. And at one point we were driving in the rain and the mud, and it basically like the road had turned into this massive river, and we've been in the car for 5 hours trying to get home. And we're having this big debate about social media, because Brandon and a couple of the other guys that are in the group are very antagonistic about it, or at least Brandon at the point was. And maybe not antagonistic, a couple of guys are very antagonistic.
Skeptical. About
it. Skeptical is a better way to put it. But I love that, yeah, that guys can relate, because it is this question. And I don't think that it's a one-size-fits-all answer, but social media exists. You can't just ignore it out of existence. And if you leave it to the people who are trying to normalize degenerate behavior or just victimhood or all these other things that we disagree with that don't make us better men, then that's what we continue to expose ourselves to. And so men like me and Hunter, I assume you feel the same way. And again, I don't try and project this onto other people, and Brandon's helped kind of reel me in on that, but I feel almost a moral obligation to share the what I think, again, is good behavior and try and normalize that on social media. And so again, having Brandon come on and be part of that with us and just spread that a little bit more, so it's less Instagram thoughts or other things. There's just one more little corner where we can have something that looks good and looks the way it's supposed to, right?
It's insane. I found myself somewhat changing my tune a little bit because I saw the impact it was having. Mm-hmm. You know, you never think that you can influence somebody else's opinion or behavior until they say, oh, I did this and that. And you're like, whoa, I didn't mean for you to do it that way. Well, that's how you said it. I'm like, oh my God. Like I said the wrong thing. You know, I'm now much more careful with the way I present what it is I'm saying, mm-hmm. to ensure that the perspective I'm coming at it from is one with good intent and not one that's, you know, I'm giving you this flame to warm you, not to burn a building down, you know?
Right. Well, that's a beautiful irony of it, because a lot of people think that guys like us who do what we do, it's all just about ego satisfaction, where it's like, okay, I get to be the guy with the bullhorn and everybody pays attention to look at the progress I'm making. And they don't realize that having an audience, and especially a critical audience, because it doesn't matter what platform you use, you're going to have a critical audience. As long as you're honest enough to try and go, yeah, are they actually making a valid point, as opposed to just immediately blowing anything off as stupid, there is way more personal growth that comes from sharing things. And that doesn't matter if your audience is big or if it's small, but you having to check yourself. I don't know how many times I've done that over the 10 years that I've been doing social media and trying to build an audience where it's like, okay, that didn't go the way that I wanted it to. That didn't send the message that I wanted to send. I need to get better at being able to communicate these kinds of things. And so not only is our goal to invite other people to get better along with us, but feeling that additional pressure to become better, that's one of the big kind of selfish benefits of doing this for us.
Absolutely. And we said that at the beginning when we started, if it's me and you getting together every week and having a chat and no one ever hits the subscribe button, we get zero downloads, like 100% worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the selfish element, is you're enjoying it. Like this show.
Oh, yeah.
If people are not watching, I'm having a great discussion.
Yeah, I'm having a conversation with you two, not for the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, was there a moment where you had to decide, like, yes, I'm going to go and be recorded and shared with the world? Like, did you have to, like, swallow a pill? Were you like, all right?
No, it really was a little bit of the pill. And as much as I hate to say it, it really was like the Gary Vee stuff. Like, I read, what was it, Crushing It or whatever? And it kind of did, like, just, it had a little bit of a, I don't know if you call it a paradigm shift or whatever, but yeah, even before that, I was decidedly not online. Like, I still haven't posted on my personal Instagram in years. So yeah, and I had big slice of humble pie with Tanner. Like, you don't even know how much crap I've given him, right? About, no, you're not making a difference. I just need to be good in my own life, in my community, and that's all I need to do, which I still believe.
Absolutely.
But I definitely maybe had to justify it more from that selfish aspect we just talked about. Like, I'm going to get on here. I'm going to do this with Tanner, but it's really a me thing. And then, you know,
it's funny. I'm here for me. I'm not doing it because
what I'm not doing this for anybody else.
You got to keep saying that, especially as the subscribes start happening. You're like, no, yeah. It's not about that. Yeah. I'm just here to talk. That's really cool. Now, you guys, when you go through your challenges, are you sharing with the family, or are the families part of the challenges, or is it strictly the men in the rut?
As far as the challenge aspect, what's been interesting with that is even that is the guys in the rut aren't as involved with it as we are. And I think that we'll start to see a little bit more participation because, again, the whole idea of, you know, we talked to them about Project M and how we wanted to make the rut a very obvious part of that. We were going to talk about it. We were going to share it. Do you guys want to come on and be part of the project? And all the other guys were, yeah, maybe an episode here or two, or no, not really, because I still feel this way about social media. I think that they'll start getting a little bit more involved with the challenges as they do. And then from the perspective of the other challenges, so for example, when we went and did our BOD pod test to get things started, and you guys will see this when we release the YouTube video. And part of the reason we do this, it's like when you listen to the podcast episode, you can hear my kids in the background because, again, you don't get the perfect scenario. And we just try and do stuff anyway because you can't wait for things to be perfect. And my wife really wanted to come and get her body fat percentage tested. So she came along and the kids are there and it's a little bit distracting, but that's life as a dad. And yeah, that can't be an excuse for, I'm not going to create content. I'm not going to challenge myself. I'm not going to push things. You just kind of have to make do with what the real life scenario is. And so my wife's been involved on some. I know Brandon's wife has expressed a lot of interest and support on other things. And as we continue to figure out what some of these other challenges are, I'm sure it'll kind of wax and wane depending on what the nature of them is.
Yeah. I just found my wife's Hustle 100 sheets right here.
Awesome. She's
nice.
Yeah. So yeah, she's tracking it. She's in on it. She's got her goals. So definitely involved.
Now, that was leading me into the next question I wanted to ask. Are your friends listening to your episodes and like, hey, I heard you say this, and you're like, what?
No.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of that yet.
No.
Interesting.
There really is and I think part of it too is there's so much content that's out there. And again, you probably could get this, Hunter, from your perspective. With even all my masculine style stuff, I've been doing this for almost 10 years and my family doesn't listen to podcast episodes or watch YouTube videos. Most of my friends don't. It's just like, what can you say? No man is a prophet in his own country. Like, the people who are closest to you are actually usually the ones who don't get that engaged in the things that you're doing. And a lot of times it's easier to build kind of an online tribe for this kind of thing. But again, I'll be curious to see as they see Brandon's transformation to being more developed, more vocal, more assertive, all these, because Brandon's already been kind of the number two on this, but as he kind of levels up even more, I am going to be really curious to see how the other three take that and what their perspective on it is going to be.
People will see, it's funny, they'll see what they want to see. So they're like, oh no, this isn't going to work. And then you start, you know, looking a little bit better and this isn't going to work. Now you start standing a little bit taller. They're like, all right, this is working. And then at some point they'll eventually be like, okay, whatever it is you're on, I'm going to get on that program.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Hustle 100.
Yeah.
There are people who, you know, they go, I wrote a, it's kind of like a program more than a book. It's called 31 Days to Masculinity. And it's a 31 day program. You guys have Hustle 100, which started a little while ago. It was 100 days left in the year, correct?
Yeah, it was two weeks ago today, actually.
Yeah, September 23rd.
So what I've noticed when people are going through a program is exactly that. They're hesitant, and then they see you making a choice, or not a choice, making a transformation, and then they want to jump on it. So for people watching right now, you know, if 2 weeks ago, there's 86 days left in the year, you know, they can get on this program that you have going now and become a part of that. You know, I mean, just because you have the Hustle 100, people that are like, all right, there's 86 days left in the year. Okay, start today.
Do it anyway.
You know, just start doing today. You don't have to be part of the 100 program. Be part of the 86 program.
Yeah.
You know, but doing something is better than nothing. And what's horrible and what's like pretty, it's like heartbreaking, is when they don't do anything. And then you're 100 days down, you're 100 improved, and they're like, I wish I joined. Like, I hate when I hear that. Like, you can now. Like, it's not like you missed the boat. There's always boats in the pier, you know? Yeah. Get on and start doing something today.
Come in when there's 3 days left. We don't care. What's more important is that you execute and you get started and that you build the momentum, as opposed to, especially because, I've been so guilty of this for years, and I've finally gotten over this. And a lot of it comes from our friendship. A lot of it comes from my friendship with Ryan Mickler of Order of Man, where so many of us guys can get into this kind of analysis paralysis, or I don't want to appear too overeager. So if I read a principle or I listen to a podcast and I get energized and excited about it, it's like, okay, slow your roll. You don't want to be that try hard dork. And I've just kind of gotten over that. It's like, no, if I'm excited about something, I'm just going to do it. And so if somebody does listen to this on Christmas Day, and you know, there's a week left in the year, I don't care. Get on it, execute, do something, as opposed to, well, I missed it, or yeah, I just you just act.
It's like you need
act the verba, right?
Boom, right there. It's just that that proverbial, or that, you know, fake boot to the butt. Mm-hmm. Just go, just do an action. Take a step in the right direction. Now, speaking of a step in the right direction, you have your group. As this grows, as more people hear your voice, you know, maybe they're going to want to form their own. Maybe they're going to want to see, like, hey, what is your group about? I'm local. Is it something where you go out and it's limited to these five friends? Or what if another man wants to come and join your tribe? He's like, I heard what you're doing. I'm around. Is there like a vetting process? Or is this like a, no, this is just me and my buddies?
You're going to have to kill somebody. We're going to have, no, just it's a gang. Yeah, the vetting process is real strict. No, that's a good question. Why don't you take that one, Brandon?
Yeah, I think we have two separate groups, and we've got the rut, and then we've got the Project M stuff. And I think the Project M stuff, more and more, that was the vision from the beginning, is some of these live events like the PFT, like we invited, or Tanner invited everybody to come, and that's definitely more open. I think right now in the rut, like we're at a good number, but we've talked about that there's maybe an ideal number for a couple more. I don't know that that's necessarily through Project M, or that there's like a vetting process where we want to grow that through Project M. But if coincidentally there was a guy locally who thought he would be a good fit and was looking for a friendship like ours, I think, I don't know why we wouldn't consider them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've gone through, one of the things that we've kind of alluded to a little bit on the show is we started the rut 5 or 6 years ago. There are probably, of the five guys now, there are probably, what would you say, Brandon? Another
three times as many
guys. Yeah. A ton of other guys that have come out once or twice. And then it's, well, you know, I couldn't make it this week because my wife really wanted to go shopping. And then, oh, I couldn't make it this week because I had a rough day at work. And so finding the vetting process is really interesting, because it's more just finding people who are actually willing to make the commitment and continue to come out consistently, that they more self-select than that we have to go through this like motorcycle club prospecting aspect or anything else like that. Yeah.
100%. It's been 100% self-selection.
Mm-hmm.
I like how you separated the rut from Project M. I didn't even think of it like that. But yeah, Project M is its own movement, you know, mm-hmm. movement for men with meaning. Boom, you got all of your M's like lined up. The alliteration is beautiful.
Yeah, so and those, I mean, we love like hundreds of people, right, at those events.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and even the opportunity to teach them, because really the rut will lose its power if it gets bigger than 8 or 10 guys. I think 8's kind of the sweet spot. 5's fantastic where it is right now. And we would be much more interested in teaching guys and helping guys get your own group of 5 to 8. And then, yeah, maybe we can all gather together as part of Project M. But as soon as it gets bigger than that, then it does kind of start to lose some of its potency. And so, yeah, we are very intentional, again, that like Brandon said, that was one of those things that we kind of looked at ahead of time going in, that we want these two to be interconnected, but also very separate beasts.
The pockets of tribes, that's something I've experienced within FOE.
I bet.
And it's incredible, because these men are local, so it's easier. So like you said, the self-selection, they make the time to meet up with these people or these other men. You know, they go out, they're like, no, I'm going to restructure my schedule so I can go see you. Not, I'm going to have all the reasons in the world as to why I can never make it, you know, to meet in the flesh. And I call it consummating the friendship, you know, mm-hmm. shaking that hand. That's how it's official. Until then, so Brandon, you and I could talk 100 times in this show, but right. until we meet and we shake hands, that's when I'm like, all right, now we are friends. Now yeah. it's like official, you know?
Yeah.
And they're doing that. And what we do, actually in the chat, Steel Jans, he's one of the men in there who's been leading this. You know, there's clans within the tribe.
Good call. So good distinction. I like that.
We have a huge FOE meetup. Our next one's in February. We've got all the planning guys just signing up now. It's going to be awesome. And inside of that, that's when everybody comes together. We all meet up. But there are guys every single week, you know, five here, three guys meet up there, going to lift, going to do whatever, grabbing just some food, you know, and you can't overstate the importance of actually showing up. You can, social media gives this fake illusion that we're connected. Mm-hmm. It isolates more than anything because you feel like you're getting it, but you're not getting that reward of actually saying, hey, if I called this guy, he would show up at my house.
Yes.
You know, if I needed help, I could call somebody and they'd be like, hey, I'm here. That feels really good. But I can't say I'm going to call my Twitter friends. They don't care.
Yeah, it's kind of smoke and mirrors, isn't it? And even our friendship is, you know, we've been aware of each other and we've done stuff over the years, but it wasn't until we actually met together and spent a week that you're right. All of a sudden it's, I love that idea, consummated, but it is, it's solidified where rather than being an internet friend, you're a friend. And that's a whole different sphere.
Yeah. It's, you know, I was talking about, you can't overstate the importance. I'll never forget 21 Con, I think it was 2017, maybe 2018, sitting down with you, it was your wife and then your friend.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name, but Ryan, he blew my mind. Yeah, like I couldn't, it was like drinking from the fire hose. Uh-huh. You know, he's like information, just slamming me with the things I could do. And I was like, what? Like, yep. How am I getting this? Like, this should be like a therapy session where I'm giving you like all my money because this is just infinitely, you know, like gonna grow my life and, you know, right. improve my life.
And look at how much you've actually leveled up in your real life.
I was gonna say that. Now, had we not sat and had that meal and had that friendship, you know, that would have been different if we were doing it online. It would have been different if we were doing it through text. We were sitting down having a meal, you know, talking, and now I do this for a living.
Absolutely.
That didn't accidentally happen, you know. And I think men need to understand, like, hey, I want to improve my life, I want to, you know, find some satisfaction, I want to be a better father, a better husband, a better man. Okay, you need to go and meet other men to do that. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely necessary.
And they need to be men who get really excited for you when you make that kind of progress. Because so many men who are out there get a little resentful about it. And I love the, you know, even the idea of our being on this kind of show together, there are plenty of people who would look at what we're trying to do with Project M and it's like, wait a minute, that could grow into something that's more like the Fraternity of Excellence. Tanner and Hunter are all of a sudden competition, and it's like, no, dude.
Oh my God.
Not at all.
It really does blow my mind when people have that mindset.
Oh man.
When Jack Murphy made Liminal Order, I retweeted it to a blue. Yeah, I was like, please. Go join this. Jack is awesome. He's creating a program. Like, you want people, like, if people like what I'm doing, they're going to go to my group. If they like what you're doing, they're going to go to your group. Right. I can't out Tanner, and you can't out Hunter.
Absolutely. and there's plenty of audience. There's plenty of development. There's plenty of growth. And a lot of guys, I'm with the Liminal Order, and it's amazing how many guys I talk to in there that are also in the Fraternity of Excellence that have also gone through my style coaching. And, you know, I assume are going to become part of Project M as well.
Brandon, you're going to have a whole host of people who know your name and know who you are and just be like, hey, man, you're like, what? We've never met.
That'll be weird. The first time that happens, that'll be weird.
It's wild to think about how many people are hearing your perspective, your voice, your thoughts, you know, and they get to know you so well. And then they show up. And it's like they know you. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you've talked about this and that, family, finances, business. Yeah. And you're like, I've never met you.
Which is, I mean, on one hand, that'll be really weird. On the other hand, like, that'll be great because I don't find a lot of people that, I mean, besides Tanner, that agree with me that much or think like I do. So I'd love to meet more people. So I'm excited for that. On the other hand,
when they come in, you know, people online, you really do have to filter them because you can't take what everybody says seriously, because a lot of people are just there to just drive by and drop like a negative review or like a really negative comment. And you're like, when that first happened to me, I had no clue how to properly handle it. I'm like, what do you mean? What's wrong with me? Why don't you like me? You know, like, this is great content I'm giving you. I'm trying here, you know? And they're like, this is garbage. And you're just like, oh, so I hope you're better prepared than I was.
I'm a little bit excited for it. Yeah. I haven't heard anything negative yet so far. Yeah. I expected it. I expected it from the get go. Like, cause obviously, like, you hear your own voice for the first time on a recording, like, I sound like a dumbass. Like, but no one said that to me yet.
Yeah. And it'll be a while before we get some of those. And then it will just be fun. And I think for me and Hunter, I want to hear if that's the same thing for you, Brandon. I mean, and you're already there with a lot of stuff. You have a good, healthy balance of being able to know when you should take that kind of stuff seriously, or when you can even just kind of use it as fuel where it's like, yes, the right people are pissed off.
Yeah.
That's just as good as having the right people who are really engaged with it.
Yeah, no, it is a little bit of an anxious thing. Cause I mean, I'm pretty like amicable guy. Like I don't piss a lot of people off like Tanner does. I don't. So I'm a little bit like just pumped up, like hyped to take the first hit, you know, like someone You're hit ready. Me in the face. Yeah.
Dude, that's wicked cool. And what I like is that you're going to it authentically. There's no, you know, it's a weird, that term is so weird because it's been like bastardized, you know?
Yeah.
But you really are. And when you speak, you're speaking a genuine, you know, message or a genuine perspective. And you're not trying to spin something. And there are a lot of people who they'll say a certain thing or they'll feel a certain way because they think other people will like it. And you're not trying to be somebody that people will like. You're trying to be yourself. Not even trying to be, you are being yourself.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And that's what's needed. You know, I think that's why I really enjoy it so much. You know, if it's one of those where if you're just rambling, I can go listen. There's a million podcasts out there. I don't have to stay in this one, but I've listened all of your episodes because I'm like, oh, these are really good discussions. They're organic and they're not trying to like pitch something or like spin it a certain way. I've heard that. I've been on Twitter too long. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy how easy it is to come up with conversations once you start talking. Like I've got things I haven't even shared with Tanner yet. I've got a list of 5 topics we could talk about, and they're things I just genuinely want to chat with Tanner about. And I think that hopefully that comes across as real and, like you say, authentic, that we're really just kind of, you know, hashing things out as friends.
Well, that's the reality of it, because these are the kind of conversations that we would have when we were up living in the same apartment complex and we'd go live together in the morning.
Yeah.
We would just talk like this, you know, and especially as Brandon continues to get better and better at doing it with a microphone in front of his face and a camera on, it becomes more and more natural. And it'll get to the points where we forget that anything's even being recorded. And you just happen to be listening in on a conversation that we would be having in the rut or on our own as we were lifting or something else like that.
Yeah.
It's funny. I keep trying to do a podcast with Jackie. So I've been trying to do Wednesdays with the wife, but we laugh so much that I can't like edit it out. It's just, we can never hit the stride with the conversation because she'll start laughing because she's not a part of this at all. Like she supports it. She enjoys it. Right. You know, she's there to help, but she just doesn't like sitting and talking to a mic is so foreign to her, you know? So it's funny because you do forget it's there. And then all of a sudden I'm listening to the playback audio and I'm like, we can't air this. It's just like 2 people laughing nonstop. But I'm like, that's good though. At least, you know, I know that you have a good, I've got a good relationship. And that's good for you guys too, to know that you have that kind of a relationship. Now looking at the way, I guess, society has gone, you know, the internet has worked. Like you said, social media is a part of our lives. Whether we like it or not, it's there. Technology is there. Do you guys detox? Do you ever take like off days from no electronics?
Brandon, why don't you go first?
I think I'd like to think I have a pretty balanced approach to it in general. Like I don't have it on my phone. Well, harder than getting on and recording myself and being on camera, the harder pill to swallow was putting Instagram back on my phone for this project. So I don't have it on my phone. I'd say I could be better, but pretty balanced in general. I don't necessarily take hard like detox days, although it's something I've thought about. So.
Yeah, and I do Sundays where, yeah. And I need to be better at it because right now I've done it where I don't get on and tweet because Sundays is Sabbath for me, for both of us. And so the idea of doing work on Sundays, which really, and again, a lot of people will think that this is weird, but being on Twitter is work. And so for me, there's been that mental clarity of I don't do this on Sundays, but I'll still get on and chat with some other guys who are, it's more of a friendly relationship. And I've found that it still pulls me away from my family too much. I did a full week-long detox of all social media back in April. And man, the first day was miserable. And then after that, it was absolutely wonderful. Even to the point where
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
You found yourself like reaching for the phone.
Oh, yeah, at the stoplight. Especially because when you get to the point where you're big enough on a platform that anytime you pull down and hit refresh, there are more interactions, whether it's likes. Yeah. I mean, it is just, oh, I want more dopamine. Oh, I want more dopamine. Oh, I want more dopamine. And you can just get it on demand, except that one time that you don't, so that then you're getting even more desperate for it. It's kind of crazy. And so taking a week off, I think I'm going to do something like that once a year, because even the ability to just, like I stopped listening to music or podcasts or books in my car so that I can just sit in silence and think and just be in my own head. And even that has been pretty dang wonderful.
And because this is now my livelihood, it's good to hear that, you know, from another family man going through, because I find myself always wanting to write something, or always want, like, there's like a calling, and it is that hit. Like, anytime I touch my phone, something's happened.
Absolutely.
Either somebody in FOE has said something or messaged, or somebody on Twitter, you know, and I'm just like, I don't even know. I can't keep up. So I'm like, I keep trying to keep up. Now I'm like chasing this dragon that just keeps going away from me. And it's like, I could work 24 hours a day and still not feel like I did enough. And like, I really need to pump the brakes on that one. And it's something I'm working with. This past weekend, I found myself like mad at the phone. I was like, I don't want social media anymore. I don't want Twitter anymore. Like, I'm done with it. I'm just going to delete the whole thing. I'm going to go to a cave and I'm done. I'm just going to grab books and hang out with the kids. And then I was like, all right, breathe. But like, I guess I have a extreme personality where I'm either like, I'm all in on social media, or I'm all off here. And there's no middle. But it's one of those, like, I used to be like Brandon. I was anti everything. I was like, I don't want social media. I'm going to be a great dad, a great leader in my community, you know, a great husband, and have my awesome life, and then die, you know, hopefully with surrounded by loved ones. And then now I'm running a morning brew show and talking to people around the country, you know, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Fraternity of Excellence, like traveling around, meeting people. I'm like, this is so weird. It's like, it still hasn't really hit that this is a real way to live, but it is.
Yeah. It's so hard to find that balance, especially I can't even imagine with like you guys, where it is your job. Cause you're justified in a lot of like aspects in checking that, in being engaged. I can't imagine trying to find the balance there.
You'll get there. I was gonna get there.
It's try to maintain from the beginning. Like, yeah. I wish I had a better system, and I'll develop it at some point. Probably when I'm like 80. Like, oh, right. I figured it out. So do you guys have, you know, heading forward with Project M, do you guys have guys lined up that are like, all right, you know, your next challenges are going to be, you know, the next topics, or is this more of a, hey, this happened this week, you know, let's jump on this topic. I had like a list of questions to ask you guys. I'm totally now just off the script.
That's awesome.
Good.
See what's
good.
Going on.
Yep. That's what we like. Yeah. As far as challenges, we're a little more planned out. We've even got a list of like 15 or 20 of them, and we can kind of sit down and think, okay, well, how does this work based on timing? Or if we've done too many that are physical and we need to do one that's financial, or do one that's social or something else like that, because we don't want it to just be like Project M is a fitness thing, or it's a finance thing, or anything else. Like, again, it's well-rounded, because meaning comes from excelling in a bunch of different arenas and finding purpose in a bunch of different arenas as opposed to just one. But I actually really love that as far as the podcast is concerned, we're much more nimble on that, where it can be responding to a tweet that just came up, or breaking down an idea based on an experience that Brandon had at work, or that I've dealt with one of my coaching clients or something like that, that we're not, so far planned out that we can't adapt to what's going on.
Yeah. Brandon, you had said something with all that was going on in the news, you know, about men and these terrible events and just what seems like preventable pain, you know, people are suffering. It's like, well, this didn't have to happen. We could have fixed that. So I was wondering, you know, as news outlets, things like that are happening, and now you're speaking up, you know, whether you want to call it, you know, being an activist or playing any role, you're kind of standing up and saying like, no, I don't have social media, but I'm going to put myself out there because it's that important.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself looking at TV now a little differently in the news, and you're like, see, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm putting my face out there. That's why I'm on this morning brew right now.
Maybe internally. It's not something that we've talked about. We I'm happy to bring it up and talk about it here when we're talking about like the motivation. I'm not hiding that was part of my motivation for getting in and starting Project M. But it's not something where, you know, I'm overtly bringing that up in our conversations with Tanner. It's more of a me, again, like it's a me thing. Like that's kind of, it's one, maybe it was a way I'm justifying to myself getting on social media and doing this, but it's definitely more of an internal driver. So I don't know that I think of it like, oh, something just happened, I need to bring this up and like really bring that into the show and make my point that if you do what we say, these things wouldn't happen. It's more of an individual driver for me, I guess. But paid more attention to the news? I don't know, probably not. It seems like that kind of stuff makes its way to you without putting in any more effort. Like that kind of stuff is just out there. It'll find you.
Well, I really love that dynamic between us, because I'm more on the other side where obviously you kind of love the selfish aspect and becoming a better version of yourself. But I, for as long as I can remember, being a punk rock kid when I was 13 years old, the idea of being involved in something, building culture, you know, affecting a large group of people. For some reason, I've always felt this kind of internal drive. And so the fact that, again, in so many regards, and this is another one that Brandon and I are complementary on this, because you have guys who can come and be involved because they want to be part of something bigger and better. And you can have guys who come in and they want to be involved because they just want to be better themselves. And whether it's selfish or, you know, just self-development, or it's culture development or culture building or something else like that, they're not mutually exclusive. And in a lot of ways, they can be very complementary. And that's another one of the things that I love about the dynamic, and having Brandon get to be part of this is, again, just as an outsider, it's so fun to have a different perspective and make all of this so much more interesting to guys that aren't already a part of what the rest of us are doing online.
If you're not living the life, I don't think you'll fully appreciate what you just said, but just meeting him and, you know, listening to you guys talk, like 100%, I'm like, yes, like a normal human being doing normal human being things and not taking everything, not being a caricature of self, you know, not taking everything to the extreme, but having a genuine discussion. Like that question there. There are men who, maybe if I had on the show, they'd be like, yes, we're leading a cause and a revolution to, you know, change men, and it's going to change ways. And Brandon was like, no, it kind of motivates me, blah, blah. But it was not some extreme, like, glory chasing, running with the flag. And sometimes I get on that. Like, when I start talking about family and stuff like that, I'm like, let's go. Like, I am 100% like,
right. But that's what you and I are wired. That's not a bad thing, but not everybody's wired that way. And Brandon is such a good representative of people who don't necessarily have to be the guy. In fact, that's one of the episodes that, again, we just recorded that'll be out actually tomorrow, is that you don't have to be the movement leader in order to be able to benefit or help with these other kind of things, even if you're coming at it from different reasons.
It was also an intentional differentiation that we chose from the beginning, right? Is that we weren't going to get up and be like pulpit pounders, like, you know, you want to stop mass shootings? Follow us. We wanted to be approachable in that, because a lot of that would just turn a lot of guys off, right? A lot of people aren't interested in the discussion of the political discussion or whatnot, but could still benefit from the self-improvement topics that we talk about. And so very much we decided from the beginning that we didn't want to take it such a on-the-nose approach to building culture or, you know, stopping mass shootings. But we know that if people followed and led more meaningful lives, eventually those things would curtail.
When, you know, you're talking about the complementary nature of one another and how it plays in, that is... So for Craig and I, we're like the same human being that are totally different. We could not be any more different than we are. You know, he's like six something. So there's a literal physical aspect of it.
Difference, yeah.
But also his approach to everything is more structured, where mine's more fluid. You know, we'll go that to the same place.
Clear, right, Brandon? But
it's just insane. But it's complementary, 100%. You know, like I said, we couldn't think about things any more different than we do, yet we create great products and we get along very well because our end goal is the same. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something important about that. Now, when you look at, and this is spinning kind of my experience with FOE, you know, there's obviously revenue generated from that. So people think that's, you know, the main motivator there. But when I left the Navy, I realized brotherhood, camaraderie, you know, fraternity, I miss that so bad, because that is, I'm a pack creature. I'm not a lone wolf type guy. I do better in groups. We were talking earlier about 21Con. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy the speech. I don't like that aspect of it. I don't like doing the panel. I do it because this is what we do. We share content. I hopefully, you know, help deliver some good information to the world that men can apply. But what I love is being in the crowd, you know, having dinner with the men, going outside, doing something. I like to be around people like that. And the Fraternity of Excellence gives me that every single day. I go in there with those men and something is always going on. I'm like, awesome. Like, you're getting after it. And some guys are, they're ready to pound the pulpit and it's like, let's go. And then there's other guys who are like, hey, I worked out today and I lost this much weight. And they're like, I don't care about your giant message of saving the world. I'm losing weight and I'm getting stronger, and having other men to hold me accountable is why I'm here. I don't care about that. I'm here for this.
Right.
And it's such a good dynamic. It makes it stronger. You know, each brick, it has its place, and each man has their place. And I think a lot of men listening to what it is I'm doing, to Project M, who there's a link below, click that if you want to start listening to the episodes. You know, if they start following that, they don't have to think that the only option is to go out there and be an activist who's running the world. Like, no, just be a normal dude living a great life. And if you live a better life, people will see that. And then they'll want to live a better life, maybe just a little bit. And that's why I was telling you, Brandon, that the things you say and the things that you're bringing to the world, you'll never see the lives that impact. You'll never see the dad who's all of a sudden being a better father. Now his son's a better son, or daughter's a better daughter. And they go out and their friends are better friends because you guys had a conversation. You know, having those resources is key.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah, and it's fun to think about the idea that, again, it doesn't, because that's one of the problems. And I wouldn't even say that it's a problem. It can be, it can turn into one. And part of it even was for us the idea that it can get a little oversaturated, because you have guys like you, you've got Jack Murphy, you've got Mickler over at Order of Man, you've got Brett at Art of Manliness, and there's a seriousness to masculinity that deserves to be there. It absolutely does. And we are in a time where it's tough to figure all this out. And it's not just the default for men to have to be masculine because of the physical environment or the social environment in which we find ourselves. And so it is treated, rightfully so, to a lot of regards, kind of like a crisis. And it's something that needs to be taken care of and needs to be solved. But that only appeals to a specific kind of man who's really feeling the pain of the world being the way that it is. Whereas what we're after, and again, the complementary nature of it, because I fall more on that side, Brandon falls more on the side of just a good, successful, normal guy who also wants to be better at being a man. And there are plenty of guys who can get keyed into that without having to feel like, oh my gosh, this is just activism and rah-rah masculinity and all this other stuff, where it can just be a little bit more organic and a little bit more natural. And that's really kind of the audience that we're after. We love being able to talk to guys who are already neck deep in this whole idea of becoming better versions of men. But a lot of it is trying to appeal to the normie, where it's maybe lift weights in addition to doing all of your cardio, and maybe make more decisions as opposed to just always defaulting to your wife, and be more active as a dad and try and become a better version of yourself as opposed to just, well, I got a good career, I got a family, and so now I can just kind of coast for the rest of my life. And taking it from a, this actually makes you happier perspective, as opposed to there's this moral component that you have to be part of, otherwise you're a bad person.
And I think as content creators, or I guess I'll speak for myself, and you can let me know if you've experienced the same, is I find that I'm evolving or changing or transforming, you know, where when I first started out, I was so mad at all the things that were going on. I was just like, when you're first exposed to, you know, the plight against men, the war on masculinity, I was like, no, not on my watch. Like, let's go. And, you know, I was just super, I wouldn't say angry, but it kind of came across as, yeah, there is that feeling of like a fire in my chest.
Right. You're taking up arms and you're ready to fight.
But a few years into it now, and maybe this goes back to your point on being a few steps up, I'm not as angry. Now I'm trying to be smart. Now I'm stepping back and seeing that, you know, normal is not normal anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, we just need to get back to having a normal life without being so extreme or so like accepting such mediocrity. You know, it's like normal is now here when it should be up here.
Right.
You know, it should be normal to be healthy. You should not be at the beach always putting on a shirt or something. That's not normal. Yep. Because you're embarrassed, you know, and that insecurity goes to, there's no competence, there's no confidence, you know, and it's like we're becoming normalized to just a very sad, depressed state. And I'm like, I'm not angry anymore. Now I'm feeling bad. And now I just want to have a normal message and like, hey, just like you said, lift a few weights and go have some fun. It's okay to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Well, and even the idea, again, because you want to make normal something that's appealing instead of just morally obligatory. Because again, a lot of us feel that way where it's, oh, I'm failing and I shouldn't, and I feel guilty in it. And there's this kind of cultural shame. Again, another episode, and maybe this is why we keep hitting these two episodes that we just finished recording last week. And there is this idea of, you want a little bit of a stick as far as, yeah, you should feel a little bit self-conscious when you're Jabba the Hutt and you're at the beach and you recognize that that's not living up to your potential. But it shouldn't just be entirely guilt-driven. There should be this idea of normal, the new normal, the better version of normal is pretty dang awesome and you feel really good. And so it's not just escaping negative, but it's embracing positive as well. And then sadly, a lot of the online manosphere kind of misses that, where it's just negative, 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 as opposed to like, no, let's focus on what the benefits are and the positivity and take it from a fun and enjoyment and a, this is what's good for me and my family perspective, as opposed to always being the crusade aspect of that normal.
Well, I think, you know, what's the point of self-improvement if your enjoyment of life is not improving?
Right.
You know, you're doing all these workouts and you're doing all these things and you're still so mad.
Yeah, because now I've just figured out all the other things I suck at. I just got to grind even harder. And it's like, no, you should be, I'm so much happier than I was 5 years ago. I'm happier than I was a year and a half ago. And all of that ties into that self-development and that self-improvement. Brandon, I'm sure you're the same way. And Hunter, I'm sure it's the same for you.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to start wrapping this one up. I just realized, like, I'm ready to go. Like, I get that, like, you know, energy. I'm like, all right, I can't sit anymore. Like, it's time to go lift, go for a run or something, get the dogs out. All right, Brandon, you don't have any social media, but you do have Project M.
Yeah.
So people that want to connect with, go ahead.
Yeah, that's where I would drive people. I would drive people to Project M.
Tanner, guys want to ask you a question. The men, they probably know who you are. You're Tanner Guzzi. But for those who don't, where could they find you?
So I'm very much a part of Twitter. And so you can find me. It's at Tanner Guzzi there. And then as far as Project M is concerned, you can check us out on YouTube and on both like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And then right now, we've made kind of a conscious point of not getting involved in Twitter. At least, you know, maybe that'll pivot and that'll change. But the social media for Project M is Instagram. So that's at Enter Project M. And so you can check us out and follow us there. Especially, you know, today we're going to be posting up progress for the Hustle 100. And that sheet that Brandon just showed up as far as what his wife's is, we've got a downloadable. So you guys can, if you want to jump on board of it, on board with it and start tracking with us and doing that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, that's Instagram will be our most used social media platform for Project M.
I want to thank the two of you for coming on. You know, not just dedicating the time, but having this conversation. I mean, it's almost refreshing and like rare to just sit and have a chat with, there's no agenda. We're kind of just talking about what it is you guys have been up to. And I really appreciated that. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a good job.
Also, I realized before we wrap this one up, I did realize I've got all these banners I can play with. Mm-hmm. And like, I just totally forgot. Like it was during one of Brandon was saying something. I'm like, oh, I should probably like share, like subscribe or like, or something. Like I was just in the conversation. I totally forgot to like share something out there.
Those are the best ones when you turn off promotion mode and it's just, again, there happens to be a recording of this conversation we're having.
Yep. So I look forward to talking to you guys again, maybe further down the line, see what you guys been up to, a follow-up on Project M and everything. Again, there's a link below if you want to listen to their episodes. You said the next one comes up tomorrow?
Yep.
All right, cool. Yeah,
they release every Tuesday.
I'm subscribed, so I'm going to get the notification.
Love it.
Awesome.
All right, everybody, thanks for watching another episode of Morning Brew. On Wednesday, I'll have Chance from Logo Centrifugal, and that's going to be another one, 08 Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, you guys are everywhere. All right, take care.
The world, man. Thanks, Hunter. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.